Beat the Hammer. I need a win. I lost last week. If you missed it last week, I lost. I wasn't happy about it. I thought it was pretty squirrely. I still think it's squirrely. We asked Ruben Amaro yesterday upon reviewing it. I said, Ruben, I'm putting the ball in your court. If you say I got to accept this L and not contest it anymore, I won't contest it. Ruben truly believed I should drop my protest.
And he's correct. Thank you, Ruben.
And so I accept the loss. But it does go on the ledger of annoying Hammer losses that I feel were unjustified through the years.
Oh, didn't he just say he was going to give it up?
Well, no,
he couldn't. Ten seconds later, he went back in again.
Jody, we'll be doing this show in a decade, and he'll call out that one time that that thing happened. Don't worry.
Official Hammer record. Official. So I do accept it. 283 wins, a mere 45 losses. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer. On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, we got a prize today for Beat the Hammer, and that prize, as I quickly scroll through my phone, that prize is, I don't have that prize.
It's a $50 gift card to Rita's Water Ice.
Oh, tremendous.
Bang.
For the summer.
More
perfect gift today? I don't think so.
That's a whole family with three trips, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Depends how big your family is, but that's good work for the summer. All right, and happy summer to everyone. Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully some of you are already driving down the shore. All right, our contestant today for Beat the Hammer, his name is Mike. He hails from Newtown. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? How you guys doing?
Hopefully I'm about to go on, you know, and win this thing. But I got to tell you, when you lose, it affects the confidence. And so I'm not quite as confident
good
as I typically
I like that
am. Okay. Mike, do you feel like you
that
do you know a lot about sports?
Yeah, I listen every week. This is the first time I got through.
Wow.
I'm usually decent. It's all about the topic, as everybody knows, but I'm just happy to get through. But I'd like to give you two losses in a row for sure.
Well, sure. Love Here's this. The only thing I disagree with you on. It's not actually about the topic. It's about the contestant. See, that tells me right. That tells me. I mean, like, did Michael Jordan say it's about whether it's on a Tuesday or a Thursday that we play? No. No. Did Michael Jordan say it's about the first quarter or the fourth quarter? No. Michael Jordan said, I'm Michael Jordan, I win the game. So, you know, I mean.
I hear you. Well,
yeah, well, okay, you hear me, but you don't think like me, and that's why you're not going
to. You don't have to entertain
him. And he's back. And he's back.
Hey, by the way, let me sneak in quickly here, and then we're going to get right to Beat the Hammer. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive Armin's inventory. Of course, you can see it all at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you believe in Trey Turner moving forward this season? A, yes, B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. By the way, reason I said that, we get that Twitter poll question in once an hour, and we had 1 minute left.
I was going to say, honestly, I'm a little nervous for Mike. You're locked in getting that at 7:59. That was impressive.
I mean,
that was good work by you.
Went a little longer.
Yeah,
with Jason,
it was good. And, no, it was, you got it in when you had to. It's good work.
It's what I do. All right. It's what I do. Beat the Hammer. Let's crank it up. I'm going to Seltzer Rest step up. Did we play the open yet? I don't even know.
Yes, we did. We're good.
All right. I'm heading
you can
down.
Get
the
out of here.
Good
Scram
luck, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. You got a good luck.
Right.
It's rare.
Let's do it.
All right. Devin. Obviously,
yes.
With Richie out, you will be on timekeeper duty.
I'm on it.
Yeah, I trust you implicitly. You've done a nice job with this, far better than Elliot when he's been tasked with the timekeeper duty. All right, so Michael, up 55 seconds. How are we looking? Is this hammer safely ensconced?
He's gone.
He's jogging.
He's gone. Nice job there, Jody.
He's jogging. All right, now he is.
All right, we feel good.
Away.
All right, Mike, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Go for two straight losses for the Hammer. Our category for the week, and I feel ashamed to admit that this has never been a category on Beat the Hammer before. But what better time after the guy gets a brand new contract as a Super Bowl winning head coach? We're doing a little Nick Sirianni trivia today. You ready to roll, my friend?
Let's do it.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. 55 seconds as soon as the question is finished being asked. Here we go. Question number one. Nick Sirianni is one of three active NFC head coaches who have been a head coach in more than one Super Bowl. Name one of the other two.
McVay.
The Chiefs are one of two teams Nick Sirianni has faced in the playoffs twice. Name the other.
I'll pass.
Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid are two of six active NFL head coaches with a career winning percentage above 650. Name one of the other four.
Sean Payton.
In addition to the Eagles and Colts, Nick Sirianni has worked for two other NFL teams in his career. Name one of them.
The Chiefs.
Nick Sirianni and Doug Peterson are two of four Eagles head coaches to win an NFL championship with the Eagles. Name one of the other two.
Pass.
The Chiefs are one of two teams Nick Sirianni has faced twice in the playoffs. Name the other.
Time.
Okay. We got two. Man. Not bad, Mike. Two is okay.
They're tough when you're on the...
I know. I always say it.
It's so much harder.
The clock, the music, the whole thing. That's why people got to play twice. But look, for a first time, two not bad. We're gonna wave the hammer back in.
He's on his way.
He is running.
He's jogging. He's making good time.
He is
pumping his fist.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a miracle.
Like he knows that the previous caller got all five right, which is going to absolutely blow his mind.
Let's do this. Contestant just hung up.
That was my fault. I was trying to put him on a hold. Call back. We'll put you right back on, Mike.
Okay. All right. By the way, shout out to this dude over here. He said redemption week for me, and I agree with him. Thank you, sir. A Hammer fan. Mm-hmm. Thank you. By the way, it's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today away from the Tasty Cake Studio. We are at Borgata. All right. What was our contestant's name?
Mike.
How did Mike do?
Don't tell him.
Let's go.
Oh, he's trying to sneak information?
All right, here. Hold on 1 second. Lewis, come here. Grab his number while I'm talking and call Mike back to get him back online. All right, Joe, you ready to roll here?
Yeah, well, that tells me Mike got more than zero because you wouldn't be making such a big effort if he only got zero.
Well, I like to get people back online no matter what.
Maybe he got zero, and I humiliate this fool. Maybe I win 5-0. I really shame this guy. All right, let's go.
All right, here we go. Our category for the week, I said it before, I'll say it again, I'm ashamed that this has never been a category on Beat the Hammer before.
Huh.
But if there was no better time than when our guy gets a big new contract as a Super Bowl winning head coach, we're doing a little Nick Sirianni trivia.
That is hard to believe. Okay.
Sirianni. We would have thought trivia. At some point we would add a Sirianni category.
Is it Union? Is it Mount Union?
Okay. It is Mount Union. You ready, Ro?
That's not a question. Then. You're No. Okay, wide receivers coach.
All right, here we go.
The Chargers.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Nick Sirianni is one of three active NFC head coaches who have been a head coach in more than one Super Bowl. Name one of the other two.
Well, I'll come back to that.
The Chiefs are one of two teams Nick Sirianni has faced twice in the playoffs. Name the other.
Say it again.
The Chiefs are one of two teams Nick Sirianni has faced twice in the playoffs. Name the other.
Tampa Bay.
Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid are two of six active NFL head coaches with a career winning percentage above 650. Name one of the other four.
McVay.
In addition to the Eagles and Colts, Nick Sirianni has worked for two other NFL teams in his career. Name one.
In addition to who?
The Eagles and Colts.
Chargers.
Nick Sirianni and Doug Peterson are two of four Eagles head coaches to win an NFL championship with the Eagles. Name one of the other two.
Neil. All right, and I got to come up with more than one Super Bowl.
NFC head coach has been to more than one Super Bowl, along with Sirianni. A 3-2 victory.
Wow.
That was tight.
You got it, though.
That was till you pulled it out.
That was tough.
So
guys.
Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are the two coaches who've been to more than one Super Bowl. You got
I thought
the
about guessing McVay. So he coached against. Oh, he okay.
Yeah, because he won one and lost one.
He won.
Yeah, he won one. Harbaugh, LaFleur, McDermott, and Kevin O'Connell are the four coaches. Man. Who have above 650.
They were not easy. I mean, they were good
I thought by far that was the toughest question. The Harbaugh, LaFleur, McDermott, O'Connell one's a tough question.
You know who I was thinking about guessing was Vrabel, because he did have success in Tennessee for a couple years. But Well, this guy didn't call back, so I win. But wow.
No, he's here. I got him. Just let me put him up.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm trust me. I feel shaky. You're like, I can't whoop it up with this one.
Mike's
this
one, here.
All right, Mike, I don't know if you got to hear. I'm glad you called back, bud. You lost, I won, which is how things should go, but it was very close.
I'll definitely be back, Hammer. I'll be back. This is a debut. I took you to the wire. So
I like this.
We'll see going forward.
I do think Mike will do. I'm predicting Mike's going to do better next time. That's my prediction.
Well, listen, those questions were tough. 2 out of 5 ain't bad, man.
They were tough, and like I said to James, when you're on, I mean, every day I'm driving 95, I'm banging 4 out of 5, and today – you get on the hot seat, and it is a little different, but I got it under my belt.
All right, Mike, we're going to give you one bonus question. If you get this, you get the $50 Rita's.
I like this. This is good work by you.
If you don't, it's going to go to someone on the contest line. All right, one of the answers today I gave was for a coach that won a championship in Philadelphia with the Eagles is Neil. Now, 99% of the audience is thinking, who the hell is Neil?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike, you need to give the first name and the nickname for the Eagles coach named Neil.
Or just a nickname. I would.
No,
I think just
first name.
Okay.
And nickname, Neil. Who is he?
That what? When you said that answer, I didn't. I assume that's a guy in 1960. I don't know anything
He's
about
He's not, actually.
No, it's a guy in 49 and 48.
Do you know the guy
Shaw
in 60?
There
you go. Yep.
It's Earl Greasy Neal. And he won a Super Bowl. He won a championship with Van Buren, 48-49. Hey, Mike, thanks for being a good contestant, man. Well done.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. You got it.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
Earl Greasy Neal.
I knew Greasy.
Yeah.
I did not know Earl. I couldn't have given his actual first name. I would have gotten half credit.
I would have felt so bad for him if he was like Greasy and he couldn't get Earl. So
that was me.
All right, here's the deal. On the contest line, we'll take caller number three in honor of the red-hot Bryce Harper, who has really heated up. Caller three on the contest line. Whoever is the third caller, you're going to win the $50 Rita's Wood or Rice gift card. 215-988-1258. And with that, victory 284. A major sigh of relief for me. We shut it down.
Yeah.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I thought it was going to be a tie for a little bit. He had you in the first half, but you eventually got that third one that put you over the edge.
They were tough. They were very,
very
tough.
Very disappointing celebration from you, though.
No,
so
I was too nervous. I'm unsettled.
We know. You lost last week. You take it way too seriously. We know.
We haven't taken a phone call in close to an hour. Let's get a call in here. I apologize to everyone on hold. We haven't been coming to you. Obviously, we had Kelsey for a while, Beat the Hammer. Let's get some calls right now. Seth in media. Seth, good morning.
Good morning. That was the most gracious win I've ever and
it was. You know what? That's a good way to put it.
I was off kilter. Seth, I'm still off kilter.
The two words, the camera and gracious, have never been said in the same sentence before.
One might say he's been humbled.
Oh, look at that.
Now he hates that word.
Yeah. Well done, Devin.
Not my style. All right, Seth, what do you got on our first place fighting Phils, who, by the way, are a half a game behind the best record in all of baseball? Talk to me.
Yeah, I definitely want to get on that. But real quick about the tush push thing. You know, I heard somebody say, I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson explain this whole thing, the physics of it, and saying that, like, it's less about the push from behind, especially when you get a guy as strong as what Jalen is. It's more about the guys up front and the technique, right? And exactly what Kelsey was saying. I mean, they're just driving lower and getting underneath. They say he's basically just like riding on a magic carpet over the yard. You know.
Well, listen, so Jason might be right. The biggest threat is an injury. I might be right. The biggest threat is if offenses get successful at it. Because here's the deal, Seth. I mean, take two Eagles that did it this year that are now on different teams. Becton, now he was on the other side of the line, meaning the right side. They don't normally go there. But Becton is on a different team. Fred Johnson is on a different team. I mean, I would think one of the first things a good coach on the other teams are going to say to these guys is, hey, tell us the technique. Now, you might not have a dude as big as burly as you know, Milot and Dickerson or Hurts, right? But I find it hard to believe that offenses can't at least get pretty good at it. I really mean that.
I agree totally. I think it's more about, like, I think they get it even on just a quarterback sneak without the push from behind. I think they could still do it.
Well, they do that too, but one of my arguments has been, and I think this is where it'll become a mockery, and I think this is a big threat. What if instead of putting Dallas Goedert back there, you put Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter back there to be the pushers? I mean, I'm being serious. What if you're watching a Bucs game and Vita Vea is lined up behind the quarterback, or a tight end and now gets the snap, and Vita Vea and some other 350-pound guys start pushing? That looks ridiculous.
Yeah, but like with that analogy, I mean, what happens if you just hand the ball off to Mailata in some weird formation?
Well, you could.
I actually want them to try that. I would love to see that.
I think we all have, yeah. So with the Phils, man, you know, this is exactly what I was talking about earlier on in the season when they were, you know, struggling a little bit, is I would rather see a slow swell to them, you know, gaining momentum and gaining this type of firepower, you know, where they're realizing that, you know, they're winning these games on consecutive hits, not long balls constantly.
Yeah, they really haven't hit that many homers this year.
No.
They really have not.
No. Yeah, outside of Schwarber.
Exactly.
He's it.
Yeah, but this is what you want, though, right? Like, this is how the teams, you know, if they we saw what happened last year when they came out of the gate hot, man. They just ran out of steam.
And they have made an adjustment to how they play offense. They have.
You want both. Yeah. You want power and that. But, Joe, I think you made a really good point a while back saying it as – this is something they have in their bag. Like, if they can get good at this, when the playoffs come around, and if you're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark, you can spray the ball around the field. It's such a massive thing to be able to do.
Look at the double steal 2 days ago. It created two runs. It created two runs. They probably end that inning with zero runs if not for that double steal. It created two runs. So that's part of all this. All right, Seth, I got to move. Give me an answer. You can win Phillies tickets. The best summer movie character.
Oh, man, who didn't want to go on vacation with this guy? Clark Griswold.
Waiting for it. I think that's a big, big time answer.
That is.
Great movie.
That is. Now, does he get dinged at all for being part of other movies?
Probably no, because it's summer vacation. Especially because vacation is the first one.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
The pitch. Harper swings, lines one down the left field line. That's a base hit. Stott around third. He's going to come home and score. Harper trying for second. The throw is not in time. A double for Bryce Harper, and the Phillies are on the board. It's 1-0.
Well, great job by Bryce Harper in recent weeks. I guess it's been about 2 weeks, maybe 2.5. He is, my God, he has really locked it in. And biggest hit of the game yesterday, obviously. The only one technically they really needed because they could have won the game 1-0. In fact, they turned out they won it 2-0. Matter of fact, as we're playing the highlights, since we're playing the highlights, let's play, like, you know, the other one. As Max Kepler, later in the game, got the Phils with another run.
The pitch. Kepler swings, rips it to right field down the line. It'll go for extra bases. Schwarber on his way into third. They're going to wave him to the plate. Ball picked up on the track by Freeman. The relay home is not in time. And the Phillies have a 2-0 lead on a double by Max Kepler.
So a great job by the Phils, 7 in a row, and obviously first place in the division now by 2 games of the Mets who were off yesterday. But really, you know, we celebrate those guys, Kepler and Harper, and what they did, Harper especially lately. But the real star of the game was Ranger. 6 2/3, no runs, totally looks locked in. You know, other than that first start he had this year when he just got bombed, he's rounded right on back to his typical form of very quality starting pitching. And it's going to create some really interesting dynamics with this team and probably that clubhouse later this year when you figure out who's in and who's out for the rotation in October. And I do think they'll make it to October, but it's no sure bet. I mean, we saw in April and early May the Phillies can struggle and could, you know, play their way out of the postseason. But the way they're playing right now with this starting pitching, it's hard to imagine that that's likely. They should make it. And they're going to have some real decisions to make with some outstanding starting pitchers. Look, you can weigh in 215-592-9494. Also, as we broadcast from Borgata, entering Memorial Day weekend, if you want to react to the Jason Kelce interview and what stood out to him with what he said. And great to have the Mac man, Jody, in today for John here with us.
As a matter of fact, I got a text right after we finished the Kelce interview. I didn't realize that you got the same text. And James got the same text. He sent it to all three of us. John Brazier, head of fun and games for the Phillies.
Yeah, of course.
Followed up with Kelce saying, it'll be an injury. If they vote it out in the future, it'll more be likely because of an injury. And he remembered back to the Buster Posey injury at home plate.
Yeah.
You could kill a, ask Pete Rose, you could kill a catcher at home plate.
Bob Fosse will tell you, or Ray Fosse, excuse me, will tell you. Yeah.
Exactly. Until Posey got hurt as badly as he did. Star player, went down, lost for big time. Uh-oh, we better change the rules. So if the tush-push gets overturned, I would think the most moving thing will be because of a major injury on that play coming up this season.
Let's rock a lot of calls this hour. We will play some audio of Jahyd Campbell. He joined us pretty early in yesterday's show. So if you missed that, we'll give you some of the highlights of that coming up shortly because, you know, I mean, the big thing is him on the injury. You know, what's going on, but also his sense of excitement to join the Eagles, who, of course, he grew up as a fan of. Let's go to the phones. Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Good.
So, Joe, how are you feeling about Benedict Arnold now I'm sure you've finished the
I finished the book. So I think to a large extent he kind of got jobbed by history. Obviously, he's a turncoat, and in the end, he turned against our nation. So, you know, we can't have all warm and fuzzies about him. But I do think there were decisions that led to him turning against the nation. And I don't think history over 250 years has recorded that well. Do you agree?
Not black and white. History is not black and white. Did you ever read The Demon of Unrest, the book I made you carry
I
around?
I did, and I am sorry to tell you, I honestly did not enjoy it. I am, and I really appreciate you gave it to me, man. That author, I was all in on his book on the Lusitania, and the other ones I've really drifted on.
That's unfortunate. I think he's the best. So, listen, on the Phillies, obviously they're beating up on some double-A clubs here.
Yep.
I mean, that Rockies team is even worse than, like, the team that Ryan Sandberg was the manager here in Philadelphia. That's a pretty high bar. So it's great. You know, they've got the best record in National League, and they're cruising along. But, I you know, it's the 162-game marathon where you have to kind of strap in for the journey. We do this to ourselves when we get, you know, down in the dumps when they're not playing well, and we get, you know, now they're a great team again. And as soon as they hit another 5 or 6 game skid, you know, they're not going to be a great team again. And I would just caution everybody. Look, I want the Phillies to win. I want the Phillies to win the World Series. I am not I would not rather be right than see the Phillies have a parade. But, you know, it's a long season. It's only May, about to be June. Rob Thompson is still the manager, and this team still has fundamental issues with
hitting
quality.
So you're still worried on the Rob Thompson front, aren't you?
Well, I will always be worried on the Rob Thompson front until Rob Thompson's no longer the manager of this baseball team. And I still do not think that this team is equipped to hit quality pitching. I mean, they haven't really seen any quality pitching in a couple of weeks now.
They faced Paul Skeens like less than a week ago.
And they scored one run.
And one.
It required Mick Abel to come up and, you know, kind of put himself back on the
map. Well, to be fair, Ken, Paul Skeens faces a lot of teams and gives up 2-1 or 0. I mean, you know, it's not
shameful. His ERA is 2.5. So he can be hit. And, you know, look, I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying that I'm not ready to, you know, take a week and a half of playing really weak teams to say, oh, no, they're great.
Another way to look at it is it's 2 months of baseball because the season started in early March. It's 2 months of baseball, and they're half a game behind the best record in baseball.
I want to see what they do in Atlanta because, you know, especially the teams that they seem to struggle with, you know, offensively. And I really, you know, what will be a marker for me is if they play the Mets the next time they play them, and I don't even know when that is. It's probably
it's
not for
June.
A while. But if they hang crooked numbers on the Mets, then I'll say, okay, yeah, this team has changed.
Can I ask kind of quick question?
Yeah.
He pretty much said, if Rob Thompson is the manager, I don't think they can win. Who would you prefer? What manager in baseball would you rather have than Rob Thompson right now?
Well, I mean, Jody, I mean, how long do you have to have this conversation? I mean, my preference for the manager right now would be Jim Leland, but he's, you know, 90 or whatever he is. So but it's just somebody other than Rob Thompson, somebody who is not going to be, you know, the guy that hands out orange slices at the end of the day. I have never picked up the sense of urgency from Rob Thompson. I don't feel like he manages with a sense of urgency. And I know it's 162.
He was different last October. I'll say that, Rob.
And I actually think for a regular season manager, he kind of does. Like a lot of regular season managers give games away, decide, all right, we're down 6-0. It's time to bring in the long guy and eat up some inning. Like, that's baseball. That's 162. I actually think watching Topper the last 2 years, I don't think this was the case in 23 and 22. But I think in 24 and 25, I think he's actually managed like pretty aggressively.
I agree.
He lets pitchers go deep. He, you know, brings the infield in early in games.
Look,
all that type of stuff.
He benched Bohm in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. So I don't agree with this.
Ken, I need an answer. Ken, I need an answer. A great summer movie character.
So I have a question because Devin said the movie, but she said the wrong character.
Yeah, that's on the board. I need a character that hasn't been said.
Okay. Quint from Jaws is the great.
You got
that is the correct answer.
That's a big answer. That's it. Well, Jaws. From Jaws. Let's go to Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Just, real fast, on the Eagles, I feel Jeffrey Lurie pulled a Michael Corleone and bringing in Frankie Piangelo's brother.
Wow, that's a great analogy.
That is a great analogy, dude. That's except, awesome.
Except Frankie, how do you say the name again?
Pentangeli.
Yeah, Pentangeli's brother didn't speak.
Yeah, he didn't need to. All you do is look at him and be like, all right, whatever you want, pal.
But he had the secret weapon.
Yeah.
Joe, just like you have the secret weapon with this hammer, and hopefully the Phillies are going to take a, you know, read from you and put the smack down on the rest of the season. Ken, you can't think about the minor league teams. They're teams. We're beating them. We're beating them 2-0. Come on.
Well, and let's also not act like they've only beaten bad teams. I mean,
it's working.
Come on.
You know, but look, hey, everybody has their opinion. And just the other thought, I had a question for Kelsey. He wanted to find out what his vanity plate's going to say, tush push or ass man?
Little Kramer reference right there.
That's good. There you go.
That's a Seinfeld reference.
Steve, would your wife, I've met your wife, she is lovely, would she approve of such chatter from you? I mean, there are children listening, sir.
She suggested it. Following the leader, dude.
It's a pretty famous Seinfeld reference.
I'm playing around. I got you. All right, Steve, excellent call as always. Let's get you some Phillies tickets.
I'm not that smart, Joe. I need help, you know?
Well, yeah. All right, Steve, let's get you Phillies tickets. Best summer movie character ever is who?
Wendy Peppercorn.
Help me out. Who's that?
Sandlot. The lifeguard.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. Oh, man. Bring that kind of stuff up. Now you're bringing up Lacey Underall.
Oh, Lacey.
Jody.
Lacey.
God bless her. She died about, a year or two ago?
Yeah, Cindy Morgan was her name.
Yeah, Cindy Morgan. The scene where Ted Knight is chasing, is that his name, Ted Knight? Yeah.
Yeah,
Ted
Smiles. Knight. Yeah.
Is chasing around his nephew. Or no, her nephew, you know, the kid, whatever.
Noonan.
With Noonan. The freaking
You're
goblin.
Nailing it right now.
Noonan.
Oh, my God.
Noonan.
It's an all-timer. All right, Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, long live Lacey Underall. Good morning.
Long live indeed. It is a good morning. I haven't mentioned the biggest fan of the Tush Push. It's not Jason Kelsey. It's not Jeffrey Lurie. It's Madeline from Phoenixville. She's sitting in the back seat. It's her favorite thing to say. She says, Tush Push.
There you go. Excellent.
Yeah. So, and as long as I don't get a call from daycare saying she's actually trying to run the play, that would be a problem. But so I had mentioned earlier when Alvarado went out that maybe some positive could be that, you know, it's kind of, you have limited options, but it would allow guys like Romano and Strom to settle into more of a regular role. It's not a large enough sample size, but I think this could potentially play out as a.
I don't buy it. You know, I think the bigger thing is Romano had already started pitching well. I don't buy that it's a positive. I don't buy it.
Well, I mean, just make the best out of a poor situation.
Well,
I
yes,
guess what I'm
correct.
Driving
make
at.
The best
but,
of you can.
And I know it's not as big of a relative need as a bullpen arm, but Brenton Doyle for the Rockies. I mean, they're certainly not going to be buyers at the trade deadline. He's a really good player. I think he could be got for less than one of our top prospects.
I don't. What do you think, James? I don't. I think they have high hopes for Brenton Doyle. I mean, he's a lot of team control. And I'm with you. I think he's a center fielder. You know, he's a phenomenal center fielder. He's got a nice bat. Like, Brenton Doyle would be a perfect fit for the team, but I think he would cost a lot more than, you know, like just McGabe or something like that.
Yeah. I mean,
All right, Ed, give me a summer movie character.
Has Johnny Castle from Dirty Dancing
has not been said. Absolutely. Totally available. You got him, man. Johnny Castle from Dirty Dancing. Good answer. All right. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us. It was a shame, man, when Patrick Swayze died. Was that about 15 years
Horrible.
Ago?
Horrible. Not quite that long, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it feels a more recent than that.
I was thinking like a decade.
I think it's been a while.
It's a while. Bummer. I was thinking like a decade. I'll look it up.
Mm. All right, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again to be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now
right,
in
Joe.
Stock. Huh?
You were right.
Oh, 15? Wow. It was
16 years ago.
Wow. Jody Seltzer has an inability to not interrupt when he wants to say something.
Yeah, it was my fault. I shouldn't have jumped in. That was my fault. My fault. My fault. Bad job by me. My bad.
Now I got to start the whole thing all over again. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox Blazer and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question. Do you believe in Trey Turner moving forward this season? A, yes, or B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, Jody, so.
You know what? And does, who writes the trivia question? The
Twitter?
Poll question.
Well, me or James, typically.
Okay, who wrote that one?
James came up with it.
Okay. What I would have asked instead was, will Trey Turner be the starting shortstop in the All-Star game again this year? Because he was the starting short. Three quarters of the infield were all Phillies. Bowman getting third base.
Right.
The only could get first.
The only problem
again.
With that poll is it's swayed by, you know, my team's got 40,000 fans and the other team's got 15,000 fans.
Also, like, no offense, Shady. It's just not as interesting, in my opinion.
Not.
I'm more interested in if people believe in the guy again.
Yeah. How he'll do and what we think of it. Exactly. I agree. All right, Jody, we're doing five questions with the Mac Man today, and we're basing them either directly on or related to debate week questions and topics that happened this week on the station. Jody, question number two for you. There was a should the Phillies move Andrew Painter to the bullpen for the playoffs question. I'm going to broaden it out. Painter, Abel, Nola, Ranger, the whole gamut of all these dudes. How many of them do you think realistically can go into the bullpen for October? And let me put it another way. The starting pitchers are, I think we can all agree, should be, as of now, Wheeler, Sanchez, Lizardo, and then you got to figure out your fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So do the rest go in the bullpen, and does that include Andrew Painter? Or does Andrew Painter supplant someone like Sanchez, and Sanchez goes to the bullpen?
Really debatable.
That's why it's debate week.
Exactly. If you're asking me who do I think could make it to the bullpen and strive out there and be really good, Ranger. Period.
Well, for sure.
Done.
But let me ask you this, Jody. Take Painter. Let's say Painter pitches well when he comes up, but doesn't pitch well enough that they say he is going to start one of our four games that a starter starts. Like, would you really rather have Joe Ross or Ruiz or Andrew Painter?
Outstanding question. The Phillies have somewhat addressed it because they've said, no, he's a starting pitcher. And we look at him as a starting pitcher.
But so are all these guys until October. I mean, at some point in October, if I have seven starting pitchers, like I am not, like, I don't give a damn what anybody says. I really don't. I'm not using frickin' Joe Ross instead of Andrew Painter in the third week of October if I have a chance to win the World Series. I'm not. But Andrew Painter can go right back next February and March to being a starting pitcher.
But
I'm trying to win a World Series.
Like, the kid had Tommy John surgery, so I think that's a big aspect of their decision there, where, like, when you come out of the bullpen, you don't get nearly as much warm-up time as you would get as a starting pitcher. Like, it's totally different process, and I think in order to keep someone like him, he's only 22 years old, healthy, they wouldn't do that.
But
especially, he's never pitched in the bullpen. It's a different thing when you're going max effort for a full inning. Like, it is actually more dangerous to his arm to go out and try and do something like that and just throw as hard as he can or try and ramp up the velocity for an inning for big outs than it is to start a baseball game and pitch the way he always has.
Look, I just have a problem with that one. I do hear what you're saying. I'm not trying to be ignorant. I guess what I'm saying is I'd like him, for instance, in August and September then, or September especially, or the final two or three weeks of September, to morph into the role so he learns it and can do it.
So I'm generally all right with this. Like, I like moving starters to the bullpen. I have no issues with it. But in this specific case with Painter just coming off Tommy John and with how important he is, like, I don't think I would do it with Painter.
Let me ask you this, James. Let's say he shows he's pretty damn good.
Well, yeah, I think he's got it.
Then how about you start him and you move Sanchez to the bullpen?
Wow.
I mean, so, like, here's my point. I'd rather have all the good pitchers.
Of course,
than
I
three
get
of the
it,
scrubs.
Joe. But you have to take the context of the situation and be real about it. Like, I'm with you.
But,
like,
I'm also trying to win a World Series.
I know. So
this
am I. I'm with you.
But Painter as a starting pitcher could also help you win a World
Series.
Well, no, I recognize that. But some combination of these guys aren't going to start. Can Abel do it?
Agree. Well, I think Abel is a much better viable bullpen
transition.
Yeah, I think that makes so much more sense. I'm fine with putting Abel in the bullpen. I'm fine with it.
This is going to sound very anti-Phillies, and I sure as hell don't mean it to be. Right now, Painter has got the same amount of outs in Major League Baseball as you have, Joe DeCamera, as I have, Jody McDonald, as James has, he hasn't gotten a major league out yet, and we're already arguing. He must be on this team. He must be in the – can we wait until he actually gets here?
We can, but I also think they have to project this out because it does relate to whether you have to make trades for the bullpen. And those decisions will happen in the next 2 months. So, all right, you know, I'll tell you what I have, Jody, because you're right. I give Painter and Abel and all those guys, they're better than I am at baseball. But you know what I got they don't got?
What's that?
And it kind of made me, I'm going to be honest, feel a little crummy yesterday. Yesterday was the 25th anniversary of my college graduation.
Really? Ooh. 25,
yeah.
Huh?
Like, not – I mean, Devin, you're about, what, halfway there?
I don't even know, which is sad. Like, I would have to do the math.
I mean, you don't know?
Like, I don't – I have to do the
math. Well, right, but it's like 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever it is based on how old you are.
Yeah, I've passed 10. I've passed the 10-year anniversary.
Okay,
all right. So, yeah.
I'm just saying, like – and here's the thing. And let me say this, the kids that just graduated or graduating this weekend, and God bless you, major accomplishment. Trust me when I tell you, I don't care if you become a talk show host. I don't care what you become. It's all downhill.
What?
It's all downhill.
No, it's not.
There was nothing in my life that was greater than my senior year in college.
That sucks.
Nothing was greater.
I disagree.
Nothing. I mean...
That's a bummer, man.
Oh, James, it's what it is.
Not for me, man.
I appreciate your honesty.
I love my life so much more now than I did then.
Me too,
James. I am so much happier today than I was as a 21-year-old kid or whatever. Like, it's not even in the hemisphere. My life is so much better today.
Like, I loved college, but I've never been of, like, those were the greatest years of my life. Like, I feel like now is the greatest years of my life.
Oh, boy.
I had as much fun in high school as I did in college. Like, high school was wild.
But I can't begin to tell you how different my experience was.
Maybe I should have gone to Fairfield.
Maybe you should have. I got my reunion coming up. Oh, my God. It's going to mess with my head. It's going to be horrible. I'm going to be back in that scene.
Why is it going to mess with your head?
I'm going to be back there for 2 days. I'm going to have to drive back here, like, all right, back to the routine. I don't want the routine. I want that.
Oh, man.
You go to, like, two classes a day. You
see,
barely do any work.
I'm totally okay with
you
a fully adult routine.
You do anything you want.
This is great.
I'm okay not being a disgusting college student.
Yeah. No. Sign me up.
Worrying about papers and this. Now, I know you didn't worry about
if
them,
I'm
Joe,
a good enough human, so says God, to go to heaven. If I am. All I ask is just the return to being 21. That's all I need. That's all I need.
Not happening.
No, I don't think so. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Diane in Penn Valley. Good morning, Diane.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I'm on.
Hello, Diane. How you been?
I am great.
Good.
Unfortunately, somebody gave my movie that I was thinking of, but I have a different character in the movie.
Well, that's okay. You can say that character, then.
Okay, baby, Frances Housley.
I said that one.
Oh, I didn't hear you
say that.
I like it.
Now you can pivot to her sister, who was really annoying.
I don't think that's going to be a winning answer.
She was brutal. Or that guy, what's that punk that cheats on? Or not cheats. Well, I don't know if he cheats, but the punk that the brunette likes.
Yeah, but I forget his name.
Ronnie or whatever that guy. I hated that guy. And great for Patrick Swayze to punch that guy. Whatever that guy.
Well, it was a great summer movie. Anyway.
Tremendous.
Anyway. I think that Popper is doing a great job as the manager. I like the lineup, and I think the Phillies are going to be playing in October. I've been following them since really giving it my age. I went to games at Connie Mack Stadium with my father.
Wow.
And my husband and I went to the first game at Citizens Bank Park.
Well, let me ask you this question.
I got
a question for you, Diane. Now that you go back, so you were at the first Veterans Stadium game. You're saying
Veterans
right?
Stadium.
All right, were you? Because this is like the most underrated moment of Philly sports history. Were you at the last game at Connie Mack Stadium?
No, I was not.
All right, Jody, do you know what happened at the last game at Connie Mack Stadium?
No,
Devin, do you
Other
know
than
what
they
happened?
Took,
I don't.
Liberties after the
yeah,
game was over.
That
okay.
For those that are too young to know this, when the final out at Connie Mack Stadium happened. The whole stadium got ripped up by the fans.
It's true.
Everybody ran on the field and grabbed everything.
I think okay. I heard that.
The bases, the home plate, the everything. Like, the chairs got ripped out. It is the most unbelievable. And that's why, since then, like, the Phillies were very – didn't they hire John Nash? Wasn't it John Nash?
The mathematician, John Nash?
No,
like
John Nash, the former Sixers GM. I think he was overseeing.
So you're talking about a beautiful mind over here.
No, well, yeah, because what they did is they wanted to, I mean, they had, what, 75,000 seats. And if you go, you know, so many restaurants and bars in the area and people in their basement that had these seats, they very meticulous, they had extra security. They made sure that they documented everything and then got, some stuff got donated to charity, some stuff got sold. And, like, there, it was really cool. Those, because remember, at the end of the vet, it ended as blue seats. Jody, you know, you had yellow for a while. You had maroon.
And yellow was ugly.
And with the maroon, that was horrendous. But then they went all blue somewhere, I think, in the early 90s or maybe late 90s. And anyway, it's a different way to do it. I think, look, if it wasn't John Nash, I apologize. But I think it was the former Sixers GM that oversold the economics of how to deal with all that. All right, Diane, do you want to pivot away? You can still give us a different character.
I can't really think. I'm trying to think. I don't know. But I do know that you're a very big Phillies fan because I heard that you golfed in your Phillies attire.
I did do that last year. Who'd you hear that from?
At Bauer Golf Club.
Yes. Do you know someone there?
Yeah, my husband works there. He met you.
Yeah. No, well, your husband, a fine man. Let me say that.
My husband, Bruce, and you know his brother, Bennett, from the radio.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Yeah. I love it. No, that was ridiculous because that was during the playoffs, and I had to wear the uniform every day, and I just figured I won't take it off, and I just wore it while I golfed, which was absurd.
Well, he told me when he came in that you did really – I listened to you every morning, so I knew you were going to do it, but he said it was true.
All right. I love it. Diane, thank you for the phone call. Excellent call.
All right. Thanks.
Have you a good week. Happy Memorial Day. She should have pivoted to Baby's dad. It was a good character.
Jerry Orbach, right?
Yeah, he's a pretty good character.
Guy was great. Except
– I mean, it's a horrible movie, though, is the problem.
James –
it's not horrible.
James, it's beyond a 10 out of 10. Beyond.
Oh, stop.
It's beyond a 10 out of 10.
All right.
Yeah, but see, I think of Jerry Orbach as
Law and
Mr.
Order.
Law and Order.
Of course. But, Lenny, you know, Briscoe.
Lenny.
Yeah, well, I like him as Mr. Houseman. All right. I also like Jahad Campbell. He's going to be an Eagles player, hopefully for a long time. He joined us on the show yesterday, talked about a lot of different topics, one of which, of course, is joining the Birds. Let's listen to what he said.
What is it like to be drafted by the team that you loved growing up? That you know, 3 months ago, as a Bama guy, you see the Eagles win the Super Bowl. You join all that. What's that like?
I mean, you know, it's an honor, really. You know, just to come to, you know, a team that's a winning program, and I just came from that, which was Alabama. So, I mean, my mindset just fits right in with, you know, my whole style of play and, you know, my whole just journey of life. So, I'm really excited, and, you know, I just, you know, keep going to get to work.
Jody, did you like the pick for the Eagles?
Yes, I learned to like it. Ooh. I didn't think it was happening.
Ooh, that's interesting.
But as the fit became the fit, and they kind of, I think they played really smart, and we'll see how it plays itself out. The hedge between linebacker and edge rusher, keeping open possibilities and flexibilities, which you may need if N'Kobe Dean's not back. When it happened, I thought the Eagles were going to go in another direction. I didn't think they were going to take him, but it's grown on me, and I think you've got a chance to be a really good player in this town.
We asked him about that yesterday, the edge thing versus, you know, off-ball inside linebacker, and he was not disclosing which way it'll be. He may not even know. I mean, to your point, Jody, it may be to be determined based on the Kobe status and a number of other things.
Sure.
But he also may be under, you know, order to not spill the beans. I mean, that's also possible. So we didn't really get a specific answer on that, but we did get other answers yesterday, including what his first month has been like. Here's what he said.
What has the first month for you as a pro? You haven't played in a game yet, but you've been in the facility. You've been around some of the guys, the coaches. What has the first month as a Philadelphia resident and Philadelphia athlete, what's it been like for you to be a pro?
You know, it's just been amazing, you know, just being around all the other rookies and, you know, all the other vets, you know, just understanding, you know, what they do in their day, you know, to keep them going, to, you know, maximize every opportunity that I have. And, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, just keep the main thing and always stay focused.
You know,
Jalen.
Yeah, I wondered three things. There's three possibilities here. One, he said keep the main thing. The main thing is he's been an Eagle for a month and has heard it from Jalen. Two, he said it because he's an Eagles fan over the last number of years, his whole life, has heard Jalen say it the last 5 years. Three, it's just coincidental that he said it.
I think it's unlikely it's coincidental. I think it's one of the first two.
I agree. All right, and let's get to really the most important thing, because, you know, this was the heart of the matter that, you know, I think we were most curious about. The injury situation, we know that's, you know, that's part of how the Eagles got him. Let's listen to what he said about
how you feeling physically. Obviously, you would not have gone with the 31st pick if the league viewed you as fully healthy. How's your body feel these days?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, just making sure that, you know, I take the right recovery steps. And, you know, I'm just taking care of my body and, you know, talking to, you know, different vets to see, you know, like what they do and their plan, and also, you know, with the training staff and, you know, just helping me out, understanding how to recover my body the best.
Do you think you'll be a full go for training camp? Do you think you'll be a full go for the start of the season? Do you project to be ready to go when those two things happen?
I mean, right now I'm just, you know, just staying with my feet at, just, you know, just taking it day by day. I don't, like me personally, I don't like to look too far ahead, you know, because I can get, you know, I can just pass by these days. So I think, you know, the biggest thing for me right now is just staying with my feet at and, you know, just trying to maximize today, honestly.
All right, James, I need a ruling. Concerning answer or trust that it's more about the day-by-day thing, be where your feet are?
I think it's slightly concerning. Like, I'm not overreacting to it. I think that's the proper type of answer to give. We know the Eagles don't like to put injury information out there and all that type of stuff. So I'm not, like, you know, super concerned, but I would have loved it if he was like, yeah, I'm feeling great, I think I'll be ready. So,
because if you asked Jalen Hurts today, are you going to be healthy for September, he'd say yes.
Yeah, so it was slightly concerning.
I agree with that.
And, oh, by the way, I'm impressed in that he's never played a down in the National Football League, and he already knows how to not answer questions.
He does.
That's true. Pretty good.
That's a good
That's
point,
pretty
Jody.
Damn good.
Yeah. Hey, you got to remember, he came from Bama. So he had a couple years of Saban before, you know, Saban hopped town.